One of our youngest members is a little guy named Colby. He's about 1 year old, and he's named after St. Maximilian Colby, not after the cheese. That's actually Henry there. And anyway, I've known a couple other Colbys, and they're both teenagers, and one of them, his face is on my phone. He put it on there as the wallpaper, and I don't know how to get it off. And but I remember when he was born, he just got his driver's license, and he was born September 20th of 2008. I was at a football game, and his dad called and said, "It's a boy," and of course, you're really excited. And I remember when Colby was little, he was a cute little baby, and they'd dress him up for Halloween. One time, they had this little giraffe costume for him, and so we brought him to the all-school mass, which was always in an auditorium, and you do anything to try to get the kids' attention and try to, I don't know, teach a lesson. And so his mom had him behind this curtain, and at the right time, I reached back, and I come with Colby, and there was like a hush fell upon the crowd. Everybody's like, oh. And usually Colby was kind of a fidgety baby, and even he was like really calm and peaceful. It was like this moment where all of a sudden people were mesmerized. And I wonder, you know, today's interaction between Pilate and Jesus. I mean, Pilate here finds a guy that claims to be a king, and so they have some things in common. And what if Pilate had a moment where he was just kind of mesmerized? That he could see this man had already been mistreated. He'd been beat up a little bit. He'd been betrayed by his friends, and has said his kingdom is not of this world, which is a pretty sad statement. I wonder if Pontius Pilate, just for a moment, was touched by this man. He didn't know this was God's only son. Well, he knows that now, as all of us must someday, when we stand face to face and we see who he really is, God's only begotten, the one that was the promised Messiah, the one who has absolute power and uses it only to save, not to hurt us or to push us down, but to set us free. I wonder if Pontius Pilate had that moment. We know that later on, they found his weak spot. If you do this, if you don't put this man to death, you're no friend to Caesar. And so Pontius Pilate did what most of us would do. He chose to preserve his own life at the cost of another man. I want to live, and so I'll let you go to your cross. Most of us as human beings, you know, when we think about this last feast of the year, it's Christ the King, and the church doesn't want us to be like the women on the aid station where we're just crying tears of pity. Poor Jesus. We should feel bad about what we did to him, no doubt about that. But not to somehow think that he doesn't know what he's doing, that he doesn't have complete control and doesn't master his circumstances, time in this world. He knows. He's predicted that I'm going to die. They're going to put me on a cross, but I will rise again. Fra Angelico, who was a medieval painter, he shows the scene of Jesus after he died. He descended into the dead to go and take home the people that belong to him. And there are demons protecting that place of Sheol, Hades, whatever you want to call it. But Jesus knocks the door down. He doesn't ask politely, because these Adam and Eve, David, all those people from the Old Testament, they belong to him. And he's come to claim his own. And he doesn't have to play nice. He's not equal to the devil. No, he far transcends him. Once in a while, a human being gets it right. They kind of describe this. Tolkien, who was a Catholic, Tolkien was raised, his dad died when he was young, and his Catholic faith was very important to him. He had a son who was a priest. He shared his faith with a guy named C.S. Lewis. And anyway, Tolkien writes The Lord of the Rings, his trilogy. And Bishop Battersby quoted one of the scenes at an ordination. We had a kid that was ordained a priest, a kid from Athens, and David Nowicki. And anyway, the bishop was quoting, he was talking about this guy, Danathor. Danathor was the steward of the king, but he forgot that. He thought he was the king. He got full of himself, and then he got corrupted. And so the bishop is making this point that, David, as a new priest, you are not the king. You're the steward of the king. You serve the king and his people. Don't ever forget that. And he started looking at us as priests as if we would be susceptible to that. I don't know what he was talking about. But anyway, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we think, I'm in charge. Remember Pope John the 23rd? He, at night before he went to bed, he'd kneel down and he'd say a simple prayer. Dear God, it's your church. I'm going to bed now. As parents, I mean, I would think you'd want to do something similar, because otherwise the pressure of raising kids, and I don't know, am I getting it right? To kneel down by the bed and say, dear God, they're your kids. I'm going to sleep. You shouldn't do that at 4 o'clock. Wait till 9 or 10, the idea, of course, is to remember that we're second. He's first. God sent his son to be the king, and we're just his steward, his servant. When I remember that, it takes a lot of stress away. We're just kids to God. We get to serve him. We get to be a part of it, but we're not in charge. We're not the Lord of lords and the God of gods. We're just his children. Other things to remember is that God uses his power very differently than we do. That we think that he's going to lord it over us. He's going to put us in our place. He's like a mean cop. And if you do something, you get caught, oof, you're going to have to answer for it. But that's not the way he is. It's never been. I mean, people stray. They do what they want, when they want, and they don't seem to get reprimanded. I was thinking of this as an example. When I was in college, first of all, when I was a teacher, they used to say that cheaters never progress. Cheaters never prosper, but they do. Sometimes people get away with things, and God, aren't you going to do something? Put them in their place? When I was in college, I was hanging out with this kid, and troops were getting restless here this morning. Anyway, I was hanging out with this guy, and it was my first year in college, and we both had a reputation that we had earned. We weren't the hardest working guys, and we liked to hang around and party and all this kind of stuff. And this one guy got in our face and said, "What are you guys doing? What are you doing here in college?" And I remember my response was, "Listen, I'm on the dean's list." And I look back, and just because you can do well, the means of how you get there are important too. I wasn't giving God my best, not even close. But I could pull it off, and I could get the end, the goal, the destination that I wanted, and I didn't care what it took to get there. You see, when we do things, when we violate the moral law, when we don't listen to God, well, he's not going to just intervene and take over. We only hurt ourselves. If we don't come to Mass, don't say our prayers, don't obey the commandments, we're only damaging our own goodness, and that makes us sad. God is a king. He does have a kingdom. Not of this world, but he doesn't say that it can't happen. He says, when you pray, pray like this, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants our kingdom to be right here, and he is our king. Whether we agree, consent, or not, he is the king. I was thinking of one last image. I used to like Spider-Man when I was a kid. And there have been lots of different versions of Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire, the one back in 2002, it was the second one. And Spider-Man there's an elevated train, it's out of control, everybody's gonna die, but somehow he manages to get this thing stopped at the last second. But it almost costs him his life. In the meantime, his mask has come off, and so all the passengers gently kind of bring him back in, and they lay him on the floor. And there's that feeling of awe. They're mesmerized. And one of them, looking at his face, said, "He's just a kid." I wonder if when we look at our Lord, do we see something of us in him? Do we see how young he was, what it cost him, what he did for us? Thy kingdom come. Not of this world, even better, in our hearts. Christ the King, who comes to claim his own, he comes to claim us.